All right. Praise time. Mark.
So I went to the grocery store, Kroger, yesterday, and I was walking out, and I looked down, and there was a $100 bill on the ground.
Wow.
On the parking lot. I probably should have looked further, because there's probably more, because it was folded nice and neat. So it could have pulled out a whole bunch of them when he or she pulled her hand out of it. Their pocket or their purse or whatever.
Well, which Kroger was that?
Right across the street over here.
That's where I was yesterday. I thought I was missing something.
Well, my phrase is, I let Mark have my seat and now I'm going to charge you $100.
We know who to go to. We need a lawyer. Yes.
Now let's don't get greedy. Y'all have a half of it.
That's the first time I found a $100 bill. I found two 20s once.
Yeah, I found a few from time to time. But
about 110 in laundry.
Usually when I find mine, it's from after washing my pants. And
yeah. So.
It's your own money.
It's not finding,
yeah.
It's finding missing money.
Sometimes it's like finding money. But Daryl?
Yes, sir. I've been praying a long time for the Lord to send me somebody that meets certain criteria that, you know, not a drug addict or a crazy person, or to work for me. And boy, his answer was spades. And I'm going to work and see if he wants to come to our church. But the Lord sent me a guy named Greg, and we talked for a couple of months. And he's moved down from Alabama to here because his son's here. He wants to be by his son. And he was looking for the right place to work. And so, essentially, what this guy's doing is he's master tech. He's going to be a shop foreman to take over running the shop outside. Then he's going to come inside and take over management, and I'm going to weed out and go out and do outside sales. And he's looking at the books, and he's going, you know, we got to do a lot better than this. I'm like, I agree, you know. So I believe that. That humbling, I don't know how to explain it, not doing as well as we should. And he's like, no, we're going to take care of this. This is going to be part of the history. We're going to get this place up and rolling.
Something that's hard to do with one person, you have to have more than one person to make it work right. You know how to do it.
Once he gets it up and running, he's got another guy that was in Alabama. He wants to bring on board this another master. And so I praise the Lord. I believe this is him helping me get past this rut that I've been stuck in for 12 years.
Amen. Sounds good. Who else? Other praises. Shorter praises. Jack.
My mom turned 50 yesterday, so we went to have a party at her mom's house, so my grandparents. So I had a good time yesterday.
All right. Cool. Lisa?
I praise the Lord that when you came up to the gym Wednesday, when I was up there with Carlos, y'all started talking and God did his thing. And so Carlos took lesson one on Wednesday.
Praise the Lord.
We'll see what happens. But I think they're going to do it on Saturday. We'll see.
I don't think so. But
that's why he said something about, are you going to be here Saturday? How long until you meet my kids? So we need to talk to you about the schedule.
Got another one.
All right.
Praise the Lord.
Okay. Who else?
Fine. No, I bought a truck from one of my customers.
Okay.
To resell it. And 3-4 days later, it doubled my money, sold it. And while I was talking to him, I, of course, asked him, you know, I go to church. He says, oh, yeah, we go to Lakewood.
Oh, wow.
Oh, boy. You had to give me one there, my Lord. I'm a C student. But I told him about basic Bible truths, and I told him to pray about, think about taking these classes, and to maybe come visit, you know, the church. And so gave him a pen.
Amen.
And prayerfully that fruits come to fruition.
I've led more than one from to Christ over the years.
I told him I grew up with Joel. We dated the same girl, not at the same time. I knew bicycles around that church with Joel and everything. Back then he was a knucklehead.
No comment. Who else? Andrew.
I got some catching up to do on my praises, I guess.
Yeah, you do, actually. So,
one is praise just to be here with you guys.
Amen.
Amen.
And I love all of y'all. I don't know. This church was literally saved my life in so many ways. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But so one of the praises is, you know, I'm well in some areas where I was not well before. You know?
Amen.
The Lord provided a pretty good job for me. I'm making more money than I was before.
Cool.
I'm staying up in Conroe now. It's kind of far from here, but one's kind of similar to Daryl's here. I met this. I was on the exercise bike at the gym on Friday, and I met this lady named Darlene, 83 years old, and she told me that she went to Bible college. And whenever someone tells you they went to Bible college, you don't want to offend them by telling them you need basic Bible truth. But she was, you know, she was into CBN, and she goes to some Lutheran church, and she just, I'm just talking to her. She has no clue about the gospel. You know what I mean? And
I do, actually.
Praise the Lord.
But she, I told her all about basic Bible truth, and she was like, oh, really, man? I've really been looking for somebody to do a Bible study with me. So I gave her a number to Lisa, and we'll see what happens there. I don't know.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
But, yeah, lots of stuff, man. God's good.
Amber?
So my Aunt Gracie was talking to Drew yesterday, and we went by there to get all the stuff ready for the baby shower today. And she was telling Drew that she used to go to one of y'all's old churches back in the day.
Austin Avenue.
Yeah, and so she said that she was going to come by before the baby shower and come to church. So.
Did she go to Spanish?
I think it was English at the time before it became the Spanish one.
Yeah,
no,
we had three churches.
Not.
One was in whatever they speak in India.
And Cecil probably does, depending on how long ago it was. I may have been there at the time. I taught Bible class there quite a while, a couple of years before it became Lighthouse.
But we need to tell her about those Bible classes today, too.
Yeah.
Tell her.
She goes to Grace, No.
You found her. You fix her.
I'll teach her.
You show her the
truth. All right. Well, anybody else? There was one too. Christine?
So today Elena Bug turns 4.
Yeah.
And we've made it 4 years with no broken bones.
Praise God, yes. Praise the Lord.
Boy, I can sit around my kids and run gone.
Yeah. I don't think I've had any broken bones. Have I had any broken? I don't think so.
Well, I'm praying that this is not broken, just sore.
Praise God.
Well.
Same finger on both of you guys.
Hey, it is the same finger.
Just know that there's going to be like one lonely guitar
today. Pastor has cut his in half, and he still plays.
I don't have a lot of sympathy for your sore finger, Terry. This one got hit with a 10,000 RPM cutoff grinder with the one of the little thin blades in it, and it hit right directly on the fingernail and chewed it off, and then went under it a little ways and chewed the meat out from under it. And my praise is that even though I have to endure a little pain, I'm still playing guitar this morning since Justin's out.
Still
a
finger.
So you know.
What he's always played, but we needed bass, so he brought us
the bass. I could play fine.
I probably could have
the bass only plays with the sides of the finger.
What happened to me? I don't know what it is. It's called an outlet.
Yeah. But this one.
I've done that before.
Yeah.
This one. Push the knuckle in.
Jam. Something like that, but I don't remember it.
Same finger.
Yeah.
On my left hand. Mine's jammed too. Years ago. Same finger.
Could have handled.
Mine's on my right. Mine's on my right.
You're an oddball.
Well, I was catching football.
So was I. Basketball.
That Proverbs, yeah, yeah. Any other praises? Joshua, you didn't get your praise in.
I just want to praise the Lord for blessing us and teaching us things. We'd been rained for like 2 weeks, and didn't be able to work. And normally when it does that, we just kind of sit around and don't do anything. But because of all the blessings he's given us, we were able to enjoy 2 weeks of being off and spend a little money and just enjoy quality time. So.
Amen. Have some to spend.
Thank you, Lord. Amen, Lord.
Some to share.
That's not easy to do when most people are off work for 2 weeks.
Yeah. It wasn't exactly easy being with him for 2 weeks with no work.
Another phrase, she survived me not working for 2 weeks.
Yeah, amen, amen. Bob.
Bye.
Amen, I see.
And my wife's over in Brother Ray's class right now.
Okay. Bob, how long have you and Nora been separated?
Oh, let me see here.
About 10 minutes now. So.
Not bad.
All right. I saw Bubba come in. Where'd he go? He's way there in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody got his seat.
I see that.
No,
I see
that's
that.
Not bad.
Lisa.
Somebody made it here.
Yeah. You let out a yes.
I think sometimes we don't think about praising the Lord in here for little bitty things, but I'm getting better at batting, like really better at batting. So I'm excited about that. Fibromyalgia, it's hard to make your muscles work the way you want them to work sometimes. And the other thing is that tomorrow I get to go to Austin and pick up Gavin at the airport. And for those of you who don't know, he's our grandson that was moved to New York about 5 years ago. And he was handed to me in the room, in the delivery room, I'm just saying, that I'm going to be happy to see him.
There's a bond.
There's bond. And now, and he's 15, so he's like a young man. And the last time I saw him, he was 13 with COVID, so I don't even know who this person is.
Yep. Time flies. Anybody else? Mark.
Yeah, so I'm starting teaching basic Bible truths to Santiago.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's I'm going. So,
okay. Vicki?
My dog I got from my sister. And when my sister had her, she had a bad habit. As in, when her back was turned, she got up in the middle of the table and was eating their Thanksgiving dinner. Because someone left chairs out and she could jump up there. So, I was in the bathroom fixing to take a shower, and I remembered that I'd left the half door open and all the chairs were out, and the cake I just spent all night making was on the table. So I remembered in the nick of time. So thank you, Jesus, for out of the clear blue reminding me that I needed to go get my dog before I had to get her.
She's been on that cake over 2 days.
Amen. Yeah. Jerry.
I thought I lost my keys this week. I've never lost my keys in my life. I left them hanging in the door. Praise the Lord for that. They weren't missing.
Yeah. Karen?
I don't lose my keys.
I want to praise the Lord that after I left Jug and Heart yesterday, I got home, there was nobody in the house. And they were outside in the pool, and I got to go outside and swim with the family, and I had a wonderful time.
Amen. Good. Good. Was there another hand over here somewhere? Did I miss? Vicki?
That's fine. Praise God for my wonderful husband. He puts up with my idiosyncrasies and loves me. And
how much you know?
All right, you can go shopping. All right. Okay, anybody else? What we're studying in Proverbs right now is about a man, a father, who is teaching his son a discourse on everything he can think of in life that his son needs to watch out for. And it starts here in chapter 23, verse number 12. He starts out saying, apply thine heart unto instructions and thine ears to words of knowledge. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and he shall deliver his soul from hell. And then he starts out, my son, If thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice. And this, from that verse 15, it starts kind of up here in verse 12, preparing dead, but from verse 15 all the way through to chapter 24, all the way down to verse 14, is one conversation, a one-sided lecture, basically, from dad to his son. Now, I know that most sons don't like to be lectured. I don't know anybody that likes to be lectured, yet we pay a lot of money to go sit and be lectured at school, right? And hate it all the time we're there. Well, what we're going to talk about out there today are some really basic things, foundational things, and they are so essential that you cannot be a good provider for your family without them. You can't. You may be a mediocre provider. You might not be in the poorhouse, but you're not going to be a good provider for your family without these fundamental things that we're going to talk about today. What we're looking at in Proverbs is a dad's instruction, warning his son what not to do and encouraging his son to learn and to gain all the knowledge he can. What I want to encourage you to do is take these basic fundamentals that we're going to talk about today and then start adding to them. Somebody ought to create a curriculum for college that lays out the foundation and then takes you step by step through every financial principle in the Bible. What would that be worth? We're talking priceless here. That might be an education worth going into debt for. So what happens most of the time is we come out of school after years even of teaching and education without really a clear direction or any real ability to hold on to what you have or to increase what you have. It's just hard, you know. What did you learn in there? And I wish I'd had somebody when I was really starting out, like Jack and Joey here, and even before your age, teaching me these things. Took me a long time to get a hold of them. But man, what I tell you, when I did, it changed everything. Everything changes. I want to read this whole discourse all the way through, because we're just starting in verse 1 of chapter 24. But I'd like to read this whole thing so that we get a picture of the father's heart as he's trying to tell his son what to watch out for and what to seek after. So who wants to do some reading today? Everybody like to get in some reading? Joshua, why don't you start verse 15 and read down through verse 20 of chapter 23. Chapter 23, start with verse 15, read through verse 20.
My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh.
Okay, gluttons, in other words. Verse 21 through verse 26. Daryl, and then Vicki, I'll let you read from there.
21, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and androgynous shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despite not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth, and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways.
Well, I'd be able to say that to your son. That's good. All right, Vicki, verse 27 through verse 31.
For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait as for prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contention? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself bright.
All right. Sherry, verse 32 through 35.
At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thy heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of the mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have bitten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it again.
All right. Who else wants to read? Carrie 24, verse 1 through 7.
Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Though wisdom it is at. Well, this,
through wisdom.
Wisdom is, it says a house. I got it wrong here. And by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chamber be filled with precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate.
All right. And then verse 8, I'll go ahead and read down through the rest of it. He that deviseth to do evil shall be called a mischievous person. The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we do it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth the soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? My son, you see verse 13, he's still talking to that same kid. My son, eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. What are some of the good things that Dad is telling this kid, this young man, that he's going to have if he listens to his father? And first of all, you know, he's asking, Josh read it back here, my son, in verse 26, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Dad is saying to the son, and this father is probably a pretty good man to be able to say to his son, give me your heart and follow my ways. You know, Paul the Apostle was able to say that. Tell him to do it like I do it. What a thing to be able to say. Incredible. What are some of these good things now? There's been a huge list here. What are some of the good things that Dad says is going to happen to you if you listen? Jerry?
Don't hang out with the drunks and gluttons.
And if you... All right, there's the warnings to do that. What's going to happen if you do?
You know, it
says right here.
I'm the drunk and the gluttons.
No.
Well, he's. It's implied.
Yeah, there we go. To come to poverty, so it says, for the drunkard and glutton shall come to poverty.
Yeah. But it's implied in verse 1 of 24, it says, be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. It's implied that he's going to want to be, if you hang out with them, you're going to want to be like them. Okay, Vicki, go ahead. You were next.
Well, it says twice that thine expectations shall not be cut off. Verse 18, for surely there is an end. So he's telling them to look to the end of the path and not just the part that you're on, because and your expectation won't be cut off. And then he tells them again in verse 14 of chapter 24, that the knowledge of wisdom be unto thyself, and thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. So if he tells them twice, it must be really important.
Well, it is. He's encouraging them. It's what God told us in His Word. He says, to do good works and to faint not, for in due season thou shalt reap. That's what He's telling this young man. He says, if you'll do these things, if you'll stay away from them, and you'll embrace the wisdom and knowledge over here, the things that I'm telling you, the things that you're going to do it for, that are going to motivate you, the things you're expecting to see, they're not going to be cut off. It's going to happen. You're going to see prosperity. You're going to see the end that you're looking for if you stay with the program. Sherry.
Kind of like one of the scenarios that I would teach the kids when I was teaching kids. I had one stand up in the chair, and she was a Christian, and she would hang out with the one that wasn't a Christian, and because she was hoping that she would bring her to her, you know, Christianity. They hung out up together and everything. And I tell her, I said, try to pull her up to you. And I said, she couldn't. I said, try to pull her down. And she pulled her down. It's easier for them to pull you down to them than it is for you to pull them up when you're hanging out with them.
Pretty good illustration. And that's how it works. All right, what else is Dad encouraging him that he's going to find if he'll listen to this advice? Or if you just want to tell me about the things that he's warning him against, we can go with that. Vicki, what?
Loose women.
Sound real good. Stick with wisdom. Your house is built. Your foundation on your life is built through wisdom. And if you have your wisdom as your foundation, then you'll have a good life.
Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding is it established. What's the difference between a house builded and a house being established?
House being built.
These are both illustrations. They're metaphors is what they are. So what are they about? Josh?
I don't know about houses, but plants would be like a plant put in the ground versus a plant established. A plant put in the ground can die, it can wither. You know, you have to be careful with it. Once it's established, it's there. It's not going anywhere.
Okay.
If it does rain, it doesn't matter. It's going to grow.
Well, he's talking about through wisdom is a house builded. How's a house built through wisdom? Well, one is wisdom to have enough money to pay for it. Wisdom is to be able to design it and build it solid where it lasts. But then it's talking about through understanding it shall be established. That's when the house becomes a home. One of the things that the Bible sets as a goal for Christians, the Bible says, after you have suffered a while, this is Peter's advice from the Holy Spirit, He shall strengthen, establish, and settle you. Christians are meant to be grounded and established. That means you're not wandering around bouncing all over the place. You're set. You have a home. You're building a life. You have a church family. You have a home. You have a place. You have a job, a vocation. You have a place where you get to use your spiritual gifts. You have a calling. You're fulfilling that calling in God's house. All of these things are talking about being established. He shall strengthen, establish, and settle you. To be established and settled. Those people, if you look up next Sunday, they're going to be there because they're not going anywhere. They're steady. They're always going to be there. They don't get knocked around. They don't bounce. They stay put. They're established in good and righteous things and successful things. Yes, Lisa.
A church member who's grounded and settled and established and
Like, they don't have to wonder where they're going to be on Sunday. They don't have to wonder where they're going to be on Wednesday evening. They're going to make sure that they're feeding their spirit and not their flesh more. Keep that in balance. But they are just as important as the pastor or the song leader or the teacher.
Well, maybe the song leader, but, you know.
Concerning the body of the church, because when you're a new person and you see established people, it means a lot. It's reinforcing that what you're believing is truth and that you are actually part of a living body of Christ. And when people are gone, they're
whole. You ever hear people anybody talk about the pillars in the church? It's in the Bible, by the way.
I thought that was pillars you sleep on.
No. ARS, not OWS.
So it's
pillars. Pillars, yeah. Well, that's what I used to call it before I learned how to say it right. That just.
Sorry, Pastor. Please forgive me.
Okay, all right. Established. And by knowledge, the next verse says, shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant things. Again, this is a metaphor, but what's he talking about?
Fill your house with pleasant and precious things.
He's talking about having really nice furniture in all your rooms and air conditioning and heat and nice floors and all rich, precious, and pleasant things. Now, if it's a metaphor, what metaphor? What's it for? If that's a metaphor, what's it actually telling us?
Is he talking about his physical house here on earth, or is he talking about his spiritual house to be filled with all good and pleasant things?
You ask the question, now answer it.
I think he's talking about the good and pleasant things that you get as a reward when you're following the Lord. You get your spiritual house is filled with good and pleasant things. You get a church family and all kinds of other great things. And, you know,
all right.
And with being part of a body of Christ.
Okay, Lisa.
I know. I feel like it's that it's because you have the wisdom and the knowledge to run a business or to work for somebody and earn a good wage and to take care of the things that you have. And, well, okay, number one, if you're tithing, you're going to get stuff. That's just the way it works. So if you're using his wisdom to build and establish your house and then your knowledge of his precepts to keep that house running, and
yeah, I actually am pretty certain that he's talking about both. One goes with the other, by the way. When you see someone who has a really strong, grounded, committed spiritual life, but they don't have enough money, they don't have the necessary physical things, so often we say, well, I'd rather be right with the Lord than to have great riches. I had two. But I'd rather be right with the Lord and have enough and to spare as well.
Absolutely.
Because that's how God does it. If you have a great big pot full of money and over here and you don't have much of a spiritual life, you're out of balance. And if you have a big, wonderful spiritual life over here and you can't pay your bills, you're out of balance. Joshua and then Mark.
You make the money without God, you're unhappy the whole way. You got the money, but you don't have to do with it. You make the money with God, you enjoy the ride from the beginning all the way to the end.
Amen. Mark?
I think also if you have just enough, you know, then you're not able to... when I was hungry, you fed me. And
yeah.
So how did you feed me, right?
Yeah.
Well, you gave your surplus, right, to feed someone else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I told you that I wish I'd learned some of the things I'm going to be preaching to you today, teaching you today a lot earlier. And I do. But you need that and to spare part. You need that surplus. There are opportunities that God's going to put in front of you that you're just going to need it. You're going to need it to be able to do the things, to be able to... Remember Isaiah said, talk about, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Well, who's the arm of the Lord?
Us.
Well, he's talking, if Jesus is the arm of the Lord, reaching down to man. You're right, Darrell. We are also the arm of the Lord. He does what he does for the people around you through one or more of us. Remember Cornelius, Acts chapter 10. He built the Jews in Caesarea a new synagogue. I mean, he's donating to the work. He prays all the time. He's a good man. He takes care of the soldiers under his. I mean, he's a good guy. That's measured by men. So he's praying. And what's God do? He sends him a messenger. Who's the messenger? Come on now. You've been reading your Bible. Who's the messenger? Who did God send to Cornelius? Abby? Ultimately, yes. But God sent him an angel. An angel. And the angel said, send for a man named Peter. How come God didn't tell the angel? Just tell him what he needs to know. I mean, if you're an angel, surely he'd believe you. No, he didn't do it that way. He said, you send Peter. He'll tell you what you ought to do, what you need to do.
Arm of the Lord.
God's chosen to do things a certain way, and he's not going to change his plans for anybody.
You know, that something sticks out in that passage. It reminds me of, I thought this the last time I read that passage. A little mad at myself for not remembering the angel. But the Lord could have just told him what he needed to know right there through the angel. But he chooses to use us instead.
Absolutely.
The foolishness of preaching.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And this man is telling his son, for by wise counsel thou shalt make war. And in the multitude of counselors there is safety. How many times have we used that verse? People come to ask advice. Well, what do I do? Well, the Bible says in the multitude of counselors there is safety. So you go ask your friends. No, you go ask real counselors, people that have succeeded in the problem you're dealing with, but not just one, two or three, maybe. Multitude of counselors, there's safety. But when have you ever seen that in the whole picture? That's a verse that's picked out, and it's a good verse, stands by itself. But this is something Dad is explaining to his son. We'll pick this conversation up and finish this discourse. There's some things that he's telling him in here that are... He's telling him that he's got to be brave. He's got to be courageous. He cannot faint in the face of adversity. He's got to stand up and deal with it. How many times have you faced a problem and you just wish you just want to throw up your hands and run? No, you don't get to do that. You have to stand. Anyway, we'll pick that up next week.